to have some fellowship with them yesterday and the day before. It's just been great. Brother Jamie, you come and share with us what God laid upon your heart.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I want to say, first of all, thank you, Brother Silcott. He's been a big help and a tremendous blessing to us going around and taking a first day. Boy, we rode all over Pinell County, I'm pretty sure, Brother Silcott, and half of Maricopa County. Yes, over on the other side. I guess there's another part of Florence that's called Anthem, and I'm still trying to figure out where everybody is. I barely know my name this morning, much less trying to figure out where things are. And then Brother Kevin took us somewhere to some hill. He said, "That looks like a good hill. Let's shoot it." I said, "Okay, let's go ahead and do that. That sounds like a plan. I like a man with a plan." Amen. So that was a blessing. No, we do want to take a minute to introduce our family, and then maybe we'll tell you a little bit about ourselves, and then we'll do some of that again in the morning service for hopefully those that are still coming in. We do want to make welcome those who are watching via live stream. I realize that some of you have been under the weather sick. We sure have been praying for Brother Tuck, especially Sister Cynthia. I did talk to them a little bit last night, or Brother Tuck last night, and she was improving. I think you started getting that report, Brother Kevin, so we're glad to hear that. I'm sure they continue to covet your prayers, so we still need to do that. In fact, I was talking to him the other day. You know, sometimes we say, "Well, brother, I'll pray." Prayer is not sometimes we say, "Well, that's all I can do," but it's the best thing that we can do, really. There's a lot of things that we can do, and, you know, sometimes you can make a meal and do those kind of things, and that's great, but prayer is the most important thing we can do, so let's make sure we continue to do that. I'm sure that they appreciate that, and also those that are not able to be here for other reasons. I know Miss Melanie is traveling today, so make sure that we keep her in prayer. She's getting ready to get on a plane. She's getting ready to get on a plane coming this way, and then tomorrow we're going to get on a plane going back that way, and so keep her in prayer, and I know she wanted to be here and others. And so I'm sure they appreciate that. But we do want to introduce our family for just a moment. And I don't know, Brother Dana, if you can kind of zoom. They're sitting here on the middle row. But in front of Brother Silcott, make sure you turn and face everybody, family, and then come back to the camera too. So first, my wife. Do what now?
Are they going to say something?
Sure. Oh no, they're just going to. I'm just. They're gonna wave for now. They're gonna sing here in a little bit. So I'll start with my wife. This is my wife Elizabeth. I'll ask my wife if she'll stand for just a moment and turn around and look at the camera for everybody to see her. Doesn't she have a pretty face, church? Amen. And so this is my wife. We've been married 19 years. This past February the 23rd, we just celebrated our 19th wedding anniversary, and so that is a blessing. And then my oldest son Nicholas. Stand up, Nicholas. This is Nicholas. Turn around for a second, Nicholas. Say hi. And so that's Nicholas. And then if this young man has not introduced himself already, he will. I promise you he will. And this is Connor. Connor, go ahead. Everybody probably already knows who you are. This is Connor. And then we have Jameson. He's my baby boy. Turn around, Jameson. That's Jameson. And then my baby girl, no matter how big she gets, she'll always be daddy's baby. That's Sienna. Stand up, Sienna. That's daddy's baby. And she has very pretty curls today. She wants everybody to know. And so she wanted pretty curls for church today. So thank you, baby. You can go ahead and sit down. And so that's our family. Now, originally, I'm actually from Arizona. I was born in Phoenix at Maricopa County Hospital. Lived in Chandler for several years. When my mother got married, she married my stepdad, who I consider my dad. And he was from Kentucky. He got a job offer in Kentucky. So we go. We moved back, or I don't want to say back because I've done back and forth. That's really the only places I've been. We moved to Kentucky when I was about 7 years old. And it wasn't long when I was there that I got connected with some of the neighbors in the neighborhood. And they invited me to church. And I thought that was good, Chuck. I thought, my goodness, I had an underlying desire to go to church. At that time, I grew up Catholic. I didn't know the difference of a church between a Catholic church, a Baptist church, Methodist church. I didn't know. I just thought it was all the same. You know, you go to worship God. I just thought it was all the same. But I remember I used to go to a Catholic school, St. Mary's there in Chandler, and they would always ask the question. They would say, "Who went to Mass over the weekend?" And I was always so embarrassed. I never got to raise my hand. All the other kids raised their hand. most of the time, and I never raised my hand. I was so embarrassed. So I always had that desire in me to want to go to church. Now I've got these people from Kentucky. I don't have any friends, and they want to take me to church. I thought that was the greatest thing since sliced bread, Roger. I mean, I thought this is a blessing right here. So I started going. Well, thank the Lord. It was a Bible-believing church, Brother Silcott. King James, Bible-believing, preached the gospel. It wasn't long till after I started going there that I got saved. In July of 1992 is when I got saved. And not long after that, I got baptized in a horse trough. Who's ever seen anyone baptized in a horse trough? Yeah? Okay, a couple, good. And so I was baptized in a horse trough, and yes, the water was very cold. But nevertheless, I wouldn't have known the difference. I was so excited, Will. I wouldn't have known the difference. I was just excited about what the Lord was doing. Of course, our family got in church, started going to the Christian school. It was an ACE school. Has anyone ever heard of ACE? Raise your hand if you have heard of ACE. Praise the Lord. I'm glad a couple of you guys have heard of ACE. I know about AC and Baba and all those fun little characters, Pudge and Red, you know, all those guys. And they were my childhood heroes, amen. I always wanted to be like them. And we started going to the Christian school there and just grew up in the ministry there. And then when I was about 14, our family moved back to Arizona. I was living in Chandler again. We attended Desert Gateway Baptist Church in Gilbert. I don't know if some of y'all know where that is. I was their first graduate from Gateway Baptist Academy in May of 2000. And so that's been a few years ago. When y'all get my age, you'll understand about, you know, time frame and all that good stuff. But I was their first graduate. And then when I went to go to Bible college, I went back to Kentucky to go to Bible college. This is funny, church, with full intentions of coming back to Arizona. Well, I found Miss Elizabeth. And God changed things. I ended up staying, right? And so maybe I'm a little late. I don't know. Maybe 20 years later, God's still going to bring me back to Arizona. I literally went to go to Bible college with full intentions of coming back to Arizona. That was my plan. But God had other plans, amen. So I got married, got a beautiful family. And so now here we are. We have pastored before. I was pastor of Calvary Road Baptist Church in Shepherdsville, Kentucky, 7 years. Assistant pastor at the same church I got saved for 5. And was principal of a pretty large Christian school, about 180 students, 25 staff members for 3 years, and a lot of other stuff in between. So we're just excited about what the Lord's going to do for our family, excited about this church. And I want to tell you, when you look around here, we see opportunity to reach people with the gospel. And by the way, the gospel must be center of everything that we do. Amen. We teach these children. The Bible talks about teaching our children diligently, right, to say, you know, passing on, you know, and Judges have talked about there rose up a generation that knew not God. And I think that's sad. Amen. It's our responsibility to teach these children the gospel. And that's part of what I know the focus of the ministry is here. And then, of course, reaching out with the food bank ministry. You realize when you study the Word of God, Christ met a lot of physical needs as well as spiritual needs. Now, of course, the spiritual needs must be there, but those are great tools that can be used to reach people with the gospel. So we're excited about what the Lord wants to do. I don't believe for a moment he's done with us, and I don't believe he's a moment he's done with this church. Amen? So with that being said, would you take your Bibles with me and go to the book of Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And if Brother Dana, if you can hear us, if there's anything, if the sound's off or something, it won't bother me. Just get a hold of Brother Silcott or Brother Kevin or somebody, and we can make adjustments as necessary. Appreciate Brother Dana doing the work that he does. As far as on the live stream ministry, I've been watching for a while, and voice is really good, and been a blessing to be able to kind of tune in and see how things have been going here, and been in much prayer for you all. I know that this was a hard year for the church. I realize that, you know, losing your pastor that you loved for 20 years, obviously, I mean, that's difficult. That's heartbreaking for any church, and I know you thought you had plenty more time with Pastor Storm. And I've even watched Pastor Storm preach, listened to him preach, watched the memorial service, and I appreciate how you honored Pastor Storm, church. I want to thank you for that. Man of God was deserving of that for the labor of love that he put into his heart and soul into this ministry, and I want to thank the church for doing that. But I've been watching you all. I know it's been hard to you. I heard there was a fire or something. Am I right, Will? And there had to be some renovations done. And on top of that, guess what? There's this thing called COVID-19. Anybody heard something about that? Okay, seems like that's all we hear about anymore. Yeah, and so this has been a hard year, but can I tell you something? God's still in control. Amen. God's still in control. Hey, listen, God's not lost his power. God's still on the throne, amen. He's still in the soul-saving business. He's still changing lives. He's still reaching people with the gospel or using people to reach people with the gospel. So God is still in control. And even this weekend, you know, we had other plans. I know that we had plans to meet other folks. We tried to go by and visit as many as we could yesterday. But, you know, either they were sick or whatever the case was, or they were out of town or whatever. And I understand that, you know, but God knew. And what we ought to learn to do, church, is just work with what God's given us. Amen. Sometimes we focus too much on what we can't do, not enough on what we can do. Amen. And God's still giving us plenty to do around here. And so we're thankful for that. God's still in control. Philippians chapter 1. And let me go ahead and read verse 27. We're going to be really reading throughout the chapter. Got a few things we want to share together. Just on the idea of striving together as a church. In verse number 27, the Bible says of Philippians chapter 1, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast," watch this, "in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." I really like that phrase where the Bible says, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Let's pray for just a moment. Father, we're so thankful for your goodness, for your grace. Lord, thank you for this church, and Lord, the fact of everything that they have endured, Lord, in the last year or so. God, it has been a very challenging and trying, and maybe some would even say the most challenging in the church's history. But Lord, the church is still here, and God, you still got a plan and a vision and a focus for this church and a work to do. We're thankful for those that have remained faithful, that are still here, carrying on the torch, doing the work of the ministry. And God, we do pray for those not able to be here. We especially think of Sister Cynthia in the hospital. We pray that you just touch her with the hand of the great physician. Help her to recover. God, give her strength. Be with Brother Tuck as he cares for her. Lord, all those who may be traveling today, Miss Melanie and maybe others, Lord, we think about those that are maybe under the weather, not able to come, or whatever the concern is. I just pray that you put a special touch on them. Father, we ask you to meet with us today, that everything said and done to be for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Here in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, we're going to key in on that thought for just a few moments. Now, I teach a little different than I preach, okay? So I try to tone it down, and that's kind of one of the biggest differences. It's hard for preachers sometimes when they get in teaching mode and preaching mode. But we're going to focus in on that thought of striving together. I like that idea of together. You know, one of the things that I've come to find out that even in the early church, when the church suffered great persecution, do you realize that at that time, often it was when the church went through its biggest growth? Amen. That's when they were stronger, often, is when they went through persecution the only time. But I truly believe with all of my heart, if you study the Word of God, you'll see one of the keys to that is because they did things in unity. You know, the Bible says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Amen. And if there's something that's going to help propel this church to continue to move forward, it's going to be that spirit of unity and that spirit of striving together for the faith of the gospel. I got to thinking about this, and I was looking through some of my notes. I really was thinking about you, Brother Kevin, when I wrote this down. It says, "The gospel is no good unless it is sent just like a bullet down the barrel of a gun." Amen. The gospel is no good unless it is sent just like a bullet down the barrel of a gun. And of course, all of y'all know here, I think some folks have guns around here, seem like. Amen. I've seen a couple already. Amen. We just get on the edge of town and we already see things, and that's good. But you know, it's no good without a bullet. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're hunting, doesn't matter if you're target shooting, whatever the case may be, it's no good without a bullet unless it be sent. And even if the bullet's there and chambered, unless somebody sends it down the barrel, it's not going to accomplish anything that it's designed to do. I mean, the bullets are designed to hit something and make an impact on what they hit. Can I tell you today, church, that's exactly how God designed the gospel to be. God designed the gospel to make an impact in people's lives. But what good is the gospel unless it is sent out? Amen? And that's what the Bible is telling us, literally striving together for the faith of the gospel. So let's look at a few things here as we look in chapter 1 here. Of course, let me focus just kind of by way of introduction, some things that they had in common, because we're thinking about that unity. We're thinking about striving together. And if you look in verse number 5, it says, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." So, you know, we have a common salvation. You know, you're only saved through Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know if anybody's confused about that, but if you study the Word of God, John 14 and 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. There's no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ alone. Amen. And by the way, it's salvation alone that saves you, not salvation with church membership or not salvation with baptism. Now, I believe those things are important, and I believe they're biblical or Christian duties, but that's not what gets us to heaven. But the first thing that we have in common is our salvation. That is, if you've been saved by the grace of God. Jesus said, lo, I go to prepare a place for you. I'm glad that he went to prepare a place for me. If he went to prepare a place for me, he went to prepare a place for you as well. Amen. So that is something that we have in common. So there right there is a reason for us. Hey, we all get to go to heaven. You may not always like each other. You may not like me in time. I don't know. But you know what? We're going to go to heaven together one day. Now, I don't know if you'll go before I do, but we're all going to go if you're saved by the grace of God. Amen. So I'm glad that that's something that we have in common, is a common salvation. Something else I think about that we have in common is, I don't know anybody here, and you're certainly not looking at a man that has arrived. What do you mean, preacher? I'm talking about I have not achieved the pinnacle of spiritual maturity. Amen? You see in verse number 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hey, can I tell you something? My character is still under construction. Amen? In other words, God's still working on me. All right, I am a work in progress, amen? And as I look around here, I see a group of people that there is still a work in progress in your life and in your heart, and that is something else that we have in common. We have in common the fact, hopefully if you've been saved, you're going where I'm going. If you haven't been saved, by the way, we sure want to help you. We want to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. There was a fellow that walked through the parking lot named Bobby yesterday. He started just looking around, found a book out there that he wanted to buy. And I thought, well, you know, I don't know what the rules are on that. So he gave a donation. He got the book, but he wasn't going to leave without getting the gospel. Glory to God. I don't know if that's what he came for, but that's what he got along with that book. And what I'm saying is that, hey, there's a common process. I've got to get better at reaching people like we were trying to do yesterday. Amen. We made an effort. He got the gospel in his hand, but we're still a work in progress. None of us have arrived. Even Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, in Philippians chapter 3. Amen? So we're still a work in progress, church. Aren't you glad that God hasn't given up on you? I'm sure glad he hasn't given up on me, amen, because I've given him lots of cause to say, you know what, I've had enough. I've failed him enough. I've given him plenty of cause to say, you know what, that's enough. I'm done with him. But we are confident of this thing, that he hath began a good work in you. We'll continue it, amen? We'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So there's a common salvation. There's a bond that we have. You know, we have a connection that unless you're saved, nobody else in the world has. There's a common process in that God is still working on us. And then we should have a common goal. We should have a common goal. If you look in verse number 7, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, that ye be partakers of my grace. Okay? So he mentions this, both in my bonds and defense and confirmation of the gospel. Amen? We have a responsibility to help people understand the gospel, being partakers of this as well. There's a common goal that we have, and that is the gospel itself. Just like we talked about here, it's no good unless it's sent. You might say, well, Brother Jaime, I'm not a preacher. That's the preacher's responsibility. Can I help you a little bit? Can I help you a little? You may not be a preacher, but you are a reacher. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you do have a duty to share the gospel with people. Amen? I understand sometimes it can get nervous, and I understand you might feel, you know, preacher, I haven't got an ability or talent or the knowledge. Hey, listen, anybody who has a desire to learn and to be able to share the gospel is capable of doing that. Amen? Now, I realize when you first get saved, you need to get a good grasp and understanding of the scriptures, but we have a responsibility. Hey, if you don't know, can I give you a cheat sheet? Real easy. Take a gospel track with you and follow along the gospel track. They don't know the difference. You just take the track. Let's say this is the gospel track right here. Hey, friend, can I show you what the Bible says? How you can know for sure? That's your cheat sheet right there. Take them right down the Romans road and you're showing them the gospel. Now, anybody can do that. Right? Anybody can do that. Anybody can say, hey, can you see that? Can you read that? You know, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so that's something that we're all able to do. So hopefully we have a common goal. And the goal ought to be to reach people in this community with the gospel. Right? And not just to reach them. Not just to help them with the food box. And by the way, that's a blessing. But the ultimate objective, you do realize, is not just reach them with the food box, but reach them with the gospel. Let them get saved and get in the church and start to grow in grace. Amen? Now, I have seen a lot of churches that do a good job of giving the gospel and maybe even converting some of them to Christ. But you realize that that's actually when the work begins for the church. Amen? When a baby is born, can I tell you something? The work has just begun. Amen? Who's ever had a crying baby in your home? Yeah. The work has just begun. I mean, if you think about it, that baby can't do anything on its own. It cannot feed itself. It cannot clothe itself. It cannot change its own diapers. Right? It cannot get itself in or out of the crib. It is literally dependent on you as a parent, or maybe you were a grandparent, or maybe you were a guardian that cared for a baby. It was literally dependent on you to care for it, and literally without you, that baby would die. Well, what makes us think it's any different for a baby Christian? Because it's not. When there's a baby Christian, they are dependent on us as a church to care for them. They don't know what they're supposed to do. You know, sometimes we take for granted, you know, we bring a Bible to church. They don't know that. They don't know that you're supposed to get baptized after you get saved as your first step of obedience to follow the Lord in believer's baptism to identify with Christ. They don't know those things. They don't know that you're supposed to be faithful to the house of God and all those other things that we're taught and that we know. They're dependent on us, church. Amen. That's part of our common goal that we should have. So we've mentioned a common salvation, a common process, a common goal. And then, of course, there's the common labor that we also see there being partakers as well. And maybe I jumped ahead a little bit. But you know, it helps if we do things together. I've always come to find out when you take on a job or a task, the Bible teaches us that two are better than one. Amen? When we can be co-laborers together. Amen? You know, the Bible teaches us it's not wise to compare ourselves amongst ourselves. You know, what happens sometimes, they say, well, you know, he's doing a little better than me, or I'm doing a little better than him. When we start, that just takes us down the wrong spiritual road. It doesn't make a difference how long you've been saved or I've been saved. We need to co-labor together in Christ. Amen? You know, as a father, I get great joy seeing my children fellowship with one another. And if they accomplish a task together, I'm being as serious as I can be. Nothing gives me greater joy than to see my kids fellowship and do something together. Can you imagine how God feels when His children start to do things together and they accomplish together and they co-labor together? Can you imagine what kind of joy that gives our Heavenly Father when He sees us working together? And it's not about, you know, who's the oldest, who's been saved. That's not what it's about. But the fact that we can co-labor together, and as the Bible mentioned over in Psalms that I said earlier, dwell together in unity, that's what's going to help us to strive together as a church. Now, of course, let me point out some of the other things. Those were just things that we had in common. But there's other things that I believe are important for us to understand in this chapter. If we go back to verse 5, we've seen that fellowship. Fellowship. There's the fellowship of in the gospel, but then I want to tell you something. We're going to fellowship on the gospel. I also like the fellowship in general. Amen. I like over in the book of Acts where they did breaking of bread and they went to house to house. I enjoy that. Amen. I may have bread, but I want to see what kind of bread you've got. Amen. Anybody got conchas around here? Anybody knows what they are? There's some other little ones that are really round and they're deep fried and sometimes they come with glaze. What are those things called? Somebody help me. Donuts, right? Hey, that's bread. It just happens to be a really good sweet bread, right? Hey, I like the fellowship. We had a little bit of that yesterday. And by the way, if you weren't here yesterday, you missed out on a good fellowship. Amen. We had did you hear about that? We had breakfast burritos. Glory to God. Can I get an amen right there? A little help, please. And he said, praise the Lord. Well, he took that to another level, Brother Chuck. Thank you, brother. And we had donuts, and most of all, we had fellowship. Now, those things were great, but it doesn't surpass the fellowship. I used to have a fellow, used to kid around. He said the food was good, but the fellowship was terrible. He was joking, of course. Amen. But the fellowship was great. In fact, I think that's what you even said, Brother Kevin. When we were talking, I think you even said the fellowship was great or something along that nature. The fellowship was great, folks. Now, I'm not talking about those who've been sick. That's not what I'm talking. I'm just saying it's good to fellowship with God's people. I told Brother Silcott the other day, and they think we can't have fun. They think we can't. You should have been with us yesterday eating food and shooting guns. Now, don't tell me that's not fun. Amen? So don't say Christians can't have a good time. Those kind of things, you realize what they do. Those kind of things actually help us strive, because what we've done is now we've bonded a little bit. You understand that, right? We have bonded a little bit, got to know each other a little bit. Amen? You get to know somebody a little bit better, and that helps you to bond. You find that maybe you got more things that you can relate with each other than you initially thought. Now, hey, listen, I don't care who you are. Nobody's ever going to agree with each other 100%. Can I be honest? I don't even agree with myself 100% of the time. Amen? Hey, listen. Sometimes my wife and I disagree. Nobody's ever had that within a marriage, have they? Yeah. No, not around here. Not in Pinell County, preacher. Glory to God. Hey, listen. Disagreements are part of relationships. Disagreements are part of relationships. Now, this isn't part of the lesson, but can I encourage you about something that's part of it? Conflict is also part of it. That's just a natural part of life. You have conflict at work. You have conflict in marriage. You have conflict at church. You have conflict with your children. You have conflict with your coworkers. Conflict is part of our relationships that we have. Now, let me add this. There's really three different ways that you can deal with conflict. You can deal with it passively by pretending that it doesn't exist. But what I want to tell you something, that usually just compounds the problem worse. Because what's happened is that you're just hoping that it's going to go away. And I want to tell you, most of the time, the devil likes to take a hold of those things and make it something bigger than it. Let me just go ahead and tell you now, I don't like to have those kind of serious conversations for a text. I won't do it. Now, if we're talking and communicating, if we're encouraging and praying for each other and saying, hey, you know, we're running late with the donuts, or we're picking up so-and-so on our way, the truck broke down, we're changing the flight. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about when stuff starts to get serious, then I'm just going to either pick up the phone and call you, or I'm going to show up at your house. You know why? Because things are so often misunderstood through this device. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. We're living in a day, church, where we don't just have to be careful with our tongues, but with our thumbs. Okay? Are you getting what I'm saying here? So we have to be careful about those things in conflict and say, well, praying for you, brother. Well, that's good, but sometimes we have to sit down and talk for a minute. Let's pray together for a minute. Amen? That's part of what conflict resolution is. And when we're too passive about it, now some things are just weren't fight for. Amen. If you like creamer in your coffee and I don't, then that's not that ain't a big thing. Right? I mean, I'll take it either way. I will literally take coffee any way that you will get. I'll take it black. I'll take it hot black. I'll take it cold black. I'll take it with creamer. I'll take it with ice. Brother Silcott saw mine this morning. The ice had already melted away. It's hot down here, amen, you know, compared to Kentucky. No, it's not too bad today. But he said it looked like creek water coffee or something, amen. I still drinking it. I'll take it anyway, right? But there's some things not worth fighting for. There are some things worth dying for, and that's the Word of God, amen. Amen. Our family's worth that. Our church is worth fighting for. Our children, the devil wants our children, by the way. They're worth fighting for. But what I'm trying to say, folks, that there are conflicts, sometimes we can be too passive about it. The other extreme is we can be too aggressive about it. Anybody ever seen anybody be too aggressive about some things? Huh? Let me tell you something. Aggression, when we deal with it aggressively, it's usually done out of raw emotion. And what I mean by that, you've not actually had time to pray. You've not actually had time to consider the matter. You've not actually had time to really hear the whole conclusion of the matter. And hear both sides of the story. I was talking to somebody yesterday, because generally there's two sides to every story, then there's the truth. Right? Amen? Our nature sometimes tends to exaggerate a story towards ourselves to benefit us, right? But when you know, I think that when you've taken time to pray, for the record, if I'm angry, I'm probably not going to talk to you right then. I'm gonna give you some time. Amen? I probably need to pray about the thing. Amen? Let the Lord speak to my heart about it first. Amen. Hey, listen, you know what I've come to find out? There's problems in Kentucky and there's problems in Arizona too. Amen. Don't misunderstand me. I heard a preacher one time say the ministry would be great if it wasn't for the people. Now, obviously, the ministry is the people. So people come with problems, and it doesn't matter if you're Arizonians or Kentuckians or Texans or somewhere in between. Amen? Now, in Texas, everything's bigger in Texas, so there are probably just bigger problems in Texas. Amen? But that's a whole other thing. But you can be too aggressive about it. But you know, when you get into the Word of God, you know, things, you start to see things in the Bible, like Proverbs 15:1, it says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Right? You see? So when we're dealing with conflict, and of course this is kind of a sub-thought of our fellowship, conflict, you can be too passive, you can be too aggressive, or the key is you can be biblical about it. You can be biblical about it. You can follow the biblical model and when there's an offense between the brother and how to deal with that thing properly. Amen? So that's just part of our fellowship. That was free. There's no charge for that on conflict resolution help this morning. But what we are looking at is our fellowship is key to strive together. There's that common bond centered on the gospel. You know something else that our church needs? Not just fellowship, but we need fortification. Amen? Fortification. He mentioned the defense and confirmation of the gospel in verse number 7. Hey, we need to be able to convince the gainsayers today. We need to be able to, within the right spirit, amen, encourage those. And there is a fortification or a defense or a strength that needs to be brought into the house of God and standing where we preach and where we teach. Because I want to tell you something. There's places that don't believe what we believe. As far as the Word of God. They simply don't study. They don't believe the Bible. They say, well, I believe the Word of God. And then you start talking about the Word of God. Well, I don't believe that. I literally had a fellow say, well, you know, preacher, I believe the part where I know that I'm saved and going to heaven. But all those other things, you know, like going to church and living right and all, I just don't know about all that. I think they took some liberties. How convenient for you to feel like you have peace and assurance for your salvation, but then don't believe that God wants you to live a separated, holy life. Amen? There's some fortification that needs to be done probably in our homes, probably in our churches, and just where we stand as a church. I'm trying to get through this church. I'm almost done here. Then, of course, we've talked about the furtherance of the gospel. There's the framework of the gospel. And then just lastly, just fight of the gospel. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on those things. I want to start to give some time here. But what I'm trying to tell you, church, is that if God has a church right here in Florence, Arizona, Florence Baptist Church, and I believe God has big plans for the church. But I want to tell you one thing that you do need is we need, and I'm not saying you don't have it. I'm just saying that's going to be key is for us to strive together for the faith of the gospel. All right, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. And that way we can have time to get prepared. It's about 9:40 and we'll have a word of prayer and then we'll dismiss this part of the service and get ready for the morning services. Brother Kevin, could I ask you, brother, if you would dismiss Sunday school, please? Amen. Amen. Thank you all for being here for the Sunday School Hour.